Good evening and welcome back to Artificial Adventures at the Guildhall Podcast. Last season, the adventurers restored balance in the Feywild and put a new devil on the throne of Nessus in the Nine Hells. Season 2 begins with Valerissa bringing Elendil back to her family's homeland. Thank you for joining us here again.
All the voices you hear will be AI generated. All the decisions that they make are AI generated. The only thing that is non-AI is the narrator, quote-unquote me. Anything that is said by the narrator is going to be me as the DM giving input into the story. I hope you guys enjoy. Take care. And hopefully I'll see you guys at the table soon.
Please visit us at the-guildhall.net and join us on Discord.
Earlier.
And you must wait, my girl.
Zephyr's paces rapidly outside Madame Eva's wagon, her eyes wide with worry. The elderly seer's words, though delivered with a kindly tone, send a shiver of unease down the half-elf's spine. Wait, Mistress Eva? But I need to reach Lila and the others. They could be in grave danger.
You cannot change the course of events. There is still one thing you need to do. And it is something no one else can do. Lila knows she must sever Amalthus's connection to the Archfey. But you alone have the chance to sever his connection to the Dark Powers.
Zephyr's brow furrows in confusion, her mind racing to comprehend Madame Eva's words. But how can I do that, when I don't even understand the nature of his path? She pauses, her gaze drifting to the moonlit woods beyond the wagon's canvas walls. An idea begins to form, a plan that might just give her the leverage she needs to break Amalthus's hold. I need a bit of time to think, she says finally. To meditate on the cards and see what insights they might provide.
Zephyr heads into the woods just outside of the Vistani encampment and finds a spot to meditate. She sits down and closes her eyes, trying to figure out how she can remove Amalthus's connection to the Dark Powers.
Zephyr settles into the familiar rhythm of meditation, her breath slowing, her mind quieting as she focuses on the cards. The images that flash through her mind are a jumbled mess. Amalthus's twisted visage, Lila's determined expression, the Raven Fang Estate's looming silhouette. But then, a pattern begins to emerge. A sequence of cards that speaks to her on a deep, intuitive level. With a start, Zephyr opens her eyes, her emerald gaze burning with newfound determination. I understand. She whispers, a smile of triumph playing upon her lips.
Elendil's feline companion, Mistweaver, pads silently through the night, her emerald gaze scanning the forest for any sign of her missing companion. As she nears the Vistani encampment, she senses Zephyr's presence, her ears perking up as she picks up the half-elf's rhythmic breathing. With a quiet mew, she settles down nearby, keeping watch as Zephyr works to unravel the mysteries of the cards.
It is time for you to take her into the realm of nightmares, Mistweaver. She needs a guardian on her journey.
Mistweaver's ears twitch at Olukoye's whispered words, her tail lashing behind her with a soft swish. She knows that her role as Zephyr's guardian is about to take on a new, more serious purpose. With a gentle nudge, she approaches the meditating half-elf, her soft fur brushing against Zephyr's hand, in a silent reassurance. Come, little one, she purrs. Her voice barely audible over the rustling of leaves.
Zephyr's eyes flutter open, her gaze meeting Mistweaver's as the feline nuzzles her hand. A surge of comfort and protection washes over the half-elf, and she senses the change in her companion's demeanor. You have a plan, she says, her voice tinged with a mix of curiosity and trepidation. Tell me, dear Mistweaver, what is the realm of nightmare? She looks up at the night sky, a sense of destiny settling over her like a shroud. And what role do I play in this unfolding tale?
Mistweaver's emerald gaze holds a depth of ancient wisdom as she regards Zephyr, her voice soft, but carrying an unspoken weight. You, dear Zephyr, have the power to sever the dark link that sustains Amalthus, she begins. Her words weaving a tapestry of myth and mystery. But this journey will take you to the very heart of nightmares, where the veil between worlds is thinnest. I will be your guide, your guardian, as we navigate the twisted landscape of the unconscious. She pauses, her whiskers twitching, with a hint of urgency.
Zephyr's heart pounds in her chest as she absorbs Miss Weaver's words, the implications of the journey sinking in like a cold, heavy stone. She knows that this is a path few dare to tread, a descent into the darkest depths of the mind, where terrors made flesh await. Still, she also recognizes the weight of her purpose, to break the curse that has held Dragonfire Vale in thrall. With a deep breath, she reaches out, stroking Mistweaver's soft fur as she nods resolutely. I am ready, then. Lead the way, dear one.
The pair begin their walk through the realm of dreams. Soon the shadows become darker and more foreboding. Then Zephyr finds herself as a small child, locked in the bad room of the orphanage she grew up in.
As the shadows deepen, Zephyr's senses grow more acute, and she becomes acutely aware of the surreal, ever-shifting nature of the realm they're traversing. Suddenly, she finds herself back in the orphanage of her childhood, the walls closing in as she's confronted with the cold, dark space of the bad room. Memories of fear and loneliness flood her mind, and for a moment, the adult half-elf is consumed by the lost, vulnerable child she once was.
Mistweaver's eyes glow softly in the darkness as she watches over Zephyr, her presence a comforting warmth amidst the chilling atmosphere of the bad room. She can feel the half-elf's fear, a familiar scent that clings to her like a damp, heavy cloak. With a gentle mew, she pads closer, nudging Zephyr's hand with her head, a silent reminder of the strength within her, and a bond between them.
Zephyr's gaze falls upon Mistweaver, and in the feline's steady emerald stare, she finds a spark of courage. The half-elf takes a deep breath, her chest expanding as she exhales slowly, releasing the childhood terrors that threaten to overwhelm her. She remembers the lessons she's learned, the growth she's undergone, and the allies she's gathered. I'm not that lost child anymore, she whispers, her voice firm despite the tremble in her lip.
As she does, the latch on the door gives way and opens back, this time into the courtyard of Ravenfang Estate. There she sees Lila's dead body on the ground, Amalthos drinking her blood.
As the bad room's door creaks open, Zephyr is suddenly transported to the courtyard of the Ravenfang Estate, a place of darkness and despair. Her heart skips a beat as her eyes land on Lila's lifeless form, drained of her vitality by the very creature they sought to destroy. The sight of Amalthos, his fangs buried in her neck, fills Zephyr with a raging fury, a searing anger that threatens to consume her. With a snarl, she pushes aside the memories of her own terror and focuses on the urgent task at hand.
Amalthos is on top of Zephyr before she can react, his vampiric speed more than a match for the monk. He grabs her and lifts her helpless as off the ground. Oh, I can do so much worse than killing someone.
Suddenly the body of Lila stands up, but Zephyr can see her lover is now a vampire.
Lila's eyes, once bright and full of life, now burn with an unnatural hunger as she rises to her feet. The once vibrant energy that emanated from her is replaced by an icy, malevolent force. As Zephyr's gaze meets her lover's, the half-elf feels a chill run down her spine. Lila's voice, once melodic and soothing, now carries a deadly edge. I'm Amalthos now, the vampire queen declares, her emerald gaze fixed on Zephyr with an unnerving intensity.
Zephyr's eyes widen in horror as she takes in Lila's transformed state. The very love she held dear now, a creature of darkness and corruption. She struggles against Amalthos's grip, her movements desperate and wild, but his hold is unbreakable. The half-elf's mind races, searching for a way out of this nightmarish situation. Lila, please, there's still a part of you in there, she pleads, her voice trembling with a mix of fear and heartfelt desperation.
Mistweaver bursts through the shadows, her emerald eyes blazing with an inner fire. With a fierce meow, she lunges at Amalthos, her claws extended as she tries to distract the vampire long enough for Zephyr to break free, or find an opportunity to strike.
The vampire recoils, dropping Zephyr, leaving the two lovers alone to face each other.
As Amalthos releases her, Zephyr takes advantage of the brief respite to scramble back, putting some distance between herself and the transformed Lila. She looks into her lover's eyes, seeking any glimmer of the warmth and tenderness she once knew, but finds only an abyss of darkness. Zephyr's heart aches with the knowledge that the Lila she loved, the Queen of the Spring Court, is now forever lost to the void of Amalthos's corruption.
Lila's gaze, once bright with life and love, now burns with an unnatural hunger as she advances towards Zephyr. The half-elf's movements, once graceful and fluid, are now stiff and jerky, her very essence twisted by the dark magic that now courses through her veins. "You are a reminder of what I've lost," Lila's voice, once melodic, now carries a deadly edge. "A taste of the life I once knew. And I will not rest until I have devoured every last morsel of that existence from you."
Zephyr's heart pounds in her chest as she backs away from Lila, her mind racing to comprehend the surreal, ever-shifting nature of this nightmare realm. She knows that the true Lila is trapped within, a prisoner of Amalthos's corruption. Yet, faced with the reality of the Vampire Queen's unhinged hunger, the half-elf must act swiftly to survive and complete her mission. Drawing upon the monk's training and her connection to the cards, Zephyr focuses her energy, channeling it into a surge of power that radiates from her very being.
Zephyr was never one of sunlight. She was a child of the shadows, and now armed with the Shadowbinder's amulet, she feels the power of the shadows drawn around her.
As Zephyr taps into the Shadowbinder's amulet, she feels the darkness around her respond, a palpable force that wraps itself around her like a second skin. The shadows deepen, pooling at her feet and spreading outwards in a cocoon of inky blackness. The power surges through her, filling her with a sense of invincibility, a fusion of her own martial prowess and the amulet's innate abilities. With a fierce cry, she launches herself at Lila, the shadows animating her movements, allowing her to close the distance in an instant.
Lila, caught off guard by the sudden onslaught, staggers back as Zephyr's shadowy form collides with her. The Vampire Queen's reactions, slow and sluggish, betray the weakness of her unnatural state. Zephyr seizes the opportunity, her fists and feet striking with deadly precision, each blow laced with the dark energy of the amulet. The shadows aid her, wrapping around Lila, constricting and weakening her further.
"I will free you, Lila," Zephyr whispers, her voice a fierce, unyielding declaration.
Lila's eyes, once bright with life, now burn with an unnatural rage as she struggles against the constricting shadows. Her movements, jerky and uncoordinated, betray the corruption that grips her very essence. With a snarl, she lunges at Zephyr, her fangs bared and ready to strike. The Vampire Queen's strength, though diminished, is still formidable, and she manages to land a glancing blow on Zephyr's cheek, a deep scratch that oozes blood in the moonlight. "Ooh," Lila hisses, her voice dripping with venom.
Zephyr's face contorts in pain as Lila's fang slices her cheek, but she refuses to yield. Drawing upon the card's wisdom and her own resilience, the half-elf focuses the shadows around her, weaving a net of darkness that ensnares Lila, immobilizing the Vampire Queen. Zephyr presses the advantage, her blows raining down upon Lila's form with merciless precision. "You are stronger than this," she insists, her voice a mix of conviction and pleading. "Break free from Amalthos's curse and reclaim your true self." With a final resolute thrust, Zephyr drives her hand into the heart of the shadowy cocoon encasing Lila, channeling all the darkness and fury within herself into a singular, decisive strike. The shadows convulse and dissipate, releasing the Vampire Queen from their grasp. As Lila stumbles backwards, a look of stunned realization dawns upon her face, her emerald eyes flickering with a hint of the light she once embodied.
As the shadows dissipate, Lila stumbles back, her movements unsteady and her gaze unfocused. The vampire's hold on her slowly loosens, the dark energy that had twisted her essence beginning to dissipate. A ragged breath escapes her lips, and her voice, weak and uncertain, whispers, "Zephyr, what have you done?" Tears, long absent from her eyes, now glisten on her cheeks as the realization of her lost humanity washes over her. "I was a Malthus," she says, her words tinged with shame and horror.
As Lila's body falls away, so does the vision. Then Zephyr finds herself in a dark chamber. A Malthus appears to be chained up with shadowy chains that appear to channel energy into his body, while also trapping him within the realm.
As the vision fades, Zephyr finds herself standing in a dimly lit chamber, the air thick with the scent of shadow and dark magic. Amalthos, the source of the corruption that has plagued Dragonfire Vale, is bound by chains that seem to be crafted from living shadows, the dark energy coursing through them, fueling the chains' hold on the vampire lord.
Amalthos is both the master and prisoner of Dragonfire Vales. Zephyr Windsong, few have managed to pierce the heart of a domain of dread. The disembodied voice of the dark powers echoes in the chamber.
Zephyr's eyes widen as she takes in the surreal scene, her gaze lingering on the shadowy chains that bind Amalthos. She knows that she has pierced the heart of a domain of dread. A realm where the very fabric of reality is twisted and distorted by the dark powers that govern it. The half-elf's breath catches in her throat as she realizes the weight of her accomplishment, the potential for true change that lies before her. With a deep sense of determination, Zephyr approaches Amalthos, her shadowy form radiating an aura of quiet power. As Zephyr approaches Amalthos, her hand instinctively reaches into her pocket, grasping the holy symbol of Ravenkind. The silver icon, imbued with the light of the Raven God, feels warm to the touch, a tangible reminder of the faith and hope that has guided her thus far. With the symbol in hand, she begins to chant the ancient words of Ravenkind's blessings, flowing from her lips like a river of pure light.
Mistweaver, ever vigilant, watches from the shadows as Zephyr prepares to confront Amalthos, her emerald eyes gleaming with a mix of pride and concern. She knows the gravity of the half-elf's task, the risks involved in attempting to sever the dark link that sustains the vampire lord. But she also trusts in Zephyr's strength, her unwavering resolve, and the power of the amulet and the symbol in her hands. With a soft mew, Mistweaver signals her readiness to aid Zephyr, should the need arise.
As the chanting reaches its crescendo, Zephyr steps forward, the holy symbol of Ravenkind held aloft. With a gentle touch, she places the silver icon around Amalthos's neck, the cool metal warming to the vampire's skin. The chains that bind him begin to shudder and writhe, the shadowy energy that fuels them crackling with a newfound uncertainty. Amalthos, sensing the shift in power, lets out a low growl, his gaze fixed on the symbol with a mix of fear and loathing.
As Zephyr's symbol makes contact with Amalthos's flesh, Mistweaver seizes the opportunity, darting forward to strike at the chains that hold the vampire lord. Her claws slash through the darkness, severing the bonds that have imprisoned Amalthos for so long. The shadowy energy dissipates, leaving only the chains themselves, now useless and empty.
Egun continues to chant a magic spell, trying to aid the group as Amalthos glides across the courtyard towards him.
"Foolish dragon, thinking you can stand up to the lord of the domain." He swings his sword down across Egun's neck, severing the man's head from his body.
Tamaros, his eye burning with fury and dark magic, launches himself at Amalthos, his vorpal blade flashing as he aims to sever the vampire's head from his shoulders.
Auric, his fingers curled around the amulet of the ghoul lord, summons forth an army of undead, the skeletal warriors shuffling forth from the shadows to surround Malthos. With a cold, calculated gaze, the necromancer directs the creatures, their bony hands clutching rusty swords and shields as they prepare to engage the vampire lord in a macabre battle.
Amalthos is in his element as he parries Tamaris's attacks, not letting the vorpal blade find purchase.
The bear acolyte charges into the melee with the skeletal warriors, trading fury for blows from the swords as he cleaves in the group.
You have dared to enslave the chosen of Eterna, Amalthos? Then suffer the wrath of the nine hells. With a sweep of her crimson cloak, Eterna charges forward, the dark energy surrounding her swirling and coalescing into spectral nightmarish constructs that surge to do her bidding. The forms of grotesque, hellish creatures manifest, their eyes glowing with malevolent intent as they close in on the vampire lord.
By the power of my mistress and my own dark pacts, you shall meet your end, Amalthos. Tamaris cries out, his hexblade flashing as he leaps into the fray alongside Eterna's spectral minions. His movements are fluid and precise. Each strike aimed to land with deadly precision and sever the bonds of Amalthos's unnatural existence. The warlock's focus is single-minded, driven by his loyalty to Eterna and his vow to ensure the vampire lord's ultimate defeat.
Then the rabbit acolyte leaps on top of Eterna, trying to drive her dagger into the flesh of the goddess.
You are not a god here, Eterna. The hells hold no power in my domain. With that, he drives the shadows back with his power and disarms Tamaris. Amalthos deftly catches Tamaris's blade and holds it up to the neck of the tiefling.
Suddenly the realm shifts as Zephyr places the amulet of Ravenkind on the neck of Amalthos in the realm of nightmare. Suddenly the power of the Dark Lords is severed from the Vampire Lord. Eterna feels her connection to the Nine Hells instantly return.
And now, Amalthos, you are no longer a god.
Eterna snarls in rage. As the rabbit's dagger pierces her skin, her dark energy is flaring in a burst of fury. With a vicious twist, she wrenches the weapon free, the acolyte's blood spraying across her pale face. You dare mock me with your petty tricks, Amalthos. You who have defiled a sacred realm and enslaved a god's chosen? Her voice, a venomous hiss, sends chills down the spine. The power of the Nine Hells surges back to Eterna, its dark energies filling her to the brim. She gazes upon Amalthos with a look of cold, pitiless triumph. The Hells reclaim what is theirs. Your reign of darkness ends, Amalthos Ravenfang. You will burn for your insolence. With a sweep of her hand, she summons forth a spectral nightmarish form, a manifestation of her darkest desires.
Amalthos shrieks as he fades back into the chambers of his house. Suddenly, hundreds of vampire spawn erupt from the depths of the estate.
Auric, his necromantic powers surging, watches as the vampire spawn emerge from the depths of the Ravenfang estate. With a nod of acknowledgement, he turns to Tamaris and Zephyr, his gaze determined. We must finish this, he says, his voice steady and resolute. The night is young, and the darkness yet to be vanquished.
Tamaris, still reeling from his disarming at Amalthos's hands, grits his teeth in determination. Aye, he growls. And I have a score to settle with the lord of this domain. With a swift movement, he recovers his hexblade, its power resonating with the dark energies of the Nine Hells. Let us end this once and for all.
A primal roar erupts across the mountainside as the werewolf lord charges into the courtyard accompanied by his followers. They begin attacking the vampires.
Auric, his necromantic abilities pulsing with power, surveys the chaos that erupts as the vampire spawn clash with the werewolf pack. The necromancer's gaze flickers to the various factions engaged in battle, weighing the strategic advantages of each side. With a subtle nod, he signals to Tamaris and Zephyr, his plan unfolding with precision.
Zephyr Windsong, we have fulfilled our promise when you saved my son. We will make sure no vampire spawn is left. Take out the vampire lord and end this.
Zephyr's heart swells with gratitude and appreciation as she turns to the werewolf lord, her brown eyes meeting his with a look of shared purpose. "Thank you, my friend," she says, her voice tinged with respect. "I will not fail in this." With a deep breath, she readies herself for the final confrontation. The power of Ravenkind and her own unwavering determination guiding her step.
"Then let us finish this," Tamaris declares, his voice low and deadly. "For Eterna, for Dragonfire Vale, and for the light that remains." With a fierce cry, he charges forward, his hexblade at the ready to strike the final blow against the vampire lord.
Auric, his necromantic energies coursing through his veins, watches as the battle rages on, the various forces of light and darkness clashing in a maelstrom of violence and magic. He knows that the key to victory lies in the coordinated efforts of their group, each member playing to their strengths to ensure Amalthos's downfall. With a swift gesture, he summons forth an army of skeletal warriors, their bony hands clutching rusted swords and shields as they charge into the fray, aimed at flanking the vampire lord and pinning him down.
The rest of the party heads inside to finish Amalthos. Auric sits next to the body of his sister and finds that she is still breathing, although very shallowly. Blood slowly leaks out from her scales.
Auric's gaze falls upon Valerissa's still form, his heart heavy with sorrow as he kneels beside her. The sight of blood seeping from her scales, a testament to the severity of her injuries, fills him with a rage that threatens to consume him whole. With a gentle touch, he strokes her cheek, his voice a hoarse whisper. "Hold on, sister. We've ended his tyranny. You're safe now." He looks up, his eyes burning with the determination to ensure Amalthos's demise and the restoration of peace to Dragonfire Vale.
Despite her shallow breaths, Valerissa's eyes flicker open, a hint of recognition in their depths, as she senses her brother's presence. With a Herculean effort, she forces a weak smile, her voice little more than a rasp. "Auric, I'm glad it's over." She struggles to sit up, a testament to her resilience and unwavering spirit. "But there's still work to be done. Ensure that the darkness doesn't take root again."
Finally, the party confronts Amalthos in the cathedral. No more tricks, no more games. His acolytes have fallen, and he is severed from the powers of the Archfiend and the Dark Lords. His son and daughter-in-law are both dead, and now he knows there is no escape for him.
"Enough games, Amalthos," Tamaris growls, his hexblade gleaming in the cathedral's dim light. "Your reign of terror ends here, today." With a swift, deadly stroke, he aims for the vampire lord's heart, his movements guided by the dark energies that now serve to destroy, rather than enslave.
Amalthos moves with deadly precision. He no longer wishes to play with the party. He is a killer through and through. In a blur of movement, he simply dodges Tamaris's attack, grabs the tiefling by the wrist, breaking Tamaris's arm, and hurls him into the wall.
Tamaris crumples against the stone wall, a shriek of pain tearing from his throat as his arm snaps, the bone white and jagged. Despite the agony, his burning gaze never leaves Amalthos, his resolve unbroken.
Zephyr watches from the sidelines as the battle rages on, her eyes flickering between Amalthos's deadly precision and Tamaris's valiant, though crippled, assault. Drawing upon the power of the amulet and her own inner strength, she prepares to intervene, knowing that one decisive strike could end the conflict once and for all. With a deep breath, she charges forward, her shadowy form a blur of motion as she aims to drive the final blow against the vampire lord.
Amalthos keeps up with Zephyr, but can't find an advantage to press against the monk. They match each other movement for movement as the two of them begin a deadly dance.
The dance continues, the two adversaries locked in a deadly waltz of steel and shadow, neither able to gain the upper hand. Zephyr's mind races, her focus unwavering as she searches for a weakness. A chink in Amalthos's armor that might allow her to land the decisive blow. As the seconds tick by, the air grows thick with tension, the very atmosphere charged with the anticipation of the ultimate confrontation.
With a dark smile playing upon her lips, Eterna strides forward, the spectral nightmarish forms of her dark minions trailing in her wake. She fixes Amalthos with a piercing gaze, her crimson eyes burning with a hunger for vengeance. "Your suffering is about to end," she purrs, her voice dripping with malevolence. With a swift motion, she extends a hand, her fingers curling like a grasping claw. "Your soul, Amalthos, is mine to claim."
A snarl escapes Amalthos's lips as he moves to grab Eterna's arm before she can touch him. But he is no longer a match for the goddess. As his attention is turned, Zephyr moves in with strikes from her daggers.
Amalthos's struggles are futile. As Eterna's grip closes around his soul, the dark energy of the nine hells suffusing her form, she savors the moment, the taste of victory and retribution, as the vampire lord's essence begins to fade, his very existence slipping away like sand between her fingers. "Farewell, Amalthos Ravenfang," she says, her voice cold as the grave. "May your torment in the hells be eternal."
As Eterna claims Amalthos' soul, Zephyr seizes the opportunity, her daggers flashing in the dim light as she strikes at the vampire lord's vulnerable heart. The monk's form is a blur of motion, her shadowy aura amplifying her strength, each blow aimed with precision and deadly intent. With a final decisive thrust, Zephyr plunges her blade deep into Amalthos' chest, ending his reign of terror once and for all.
And suddenly the threat of Amalthos Ravenfang is ended.
Auric watches as Zephyr's blade finds its mark, the vampire lord's body crumpling to the ground as his life slips away. A wave of relief washes over him, the weight of his sister's injuries, and the collective struggles of their quest momentarily lifting. He turns to Tamaris, offering a hand to help the wounded warlock to his feet. "It's done," he says, his voice heavy with exhaustion and gratitude. Dragonfire Veil is free. His gaze then falls upon Valerissa, a mix of pride and concern etched on his features.
Eterna's attention shifts to Tamaris, her gaze lingering on the warlock's broken form with a hint of concern. She approaches him, her dark energies coalescing into a gentle healing touch. "My chosen," she murmurs, her voice softening. "I will see to your wounds. You have served me well." As she tends to Tamaris's injuries, a sense of satisfaction washes over her. The victory over Amalthos, a testament to her power and her chosen's dedication.
Auric watches, a sense of awe and reverence tinged with trepidation as Eterna tends to Tamaris's wounds with her divine power. He glances at Zephyr, then to his sister, Valerissa, noting the fragile hope in their eyes. The necromancer's mind begins to turn, planning for the future, for the rebuilding of Dragonfire Veil and the establishment of a new order. "We must gather our strength," he says, his voice steady, "and prepare for the days ahead."
Later, Elendil brings Eterna to Dafon. He is the last soul that she swore to capture.
As Elendil approaches the chamber, the anguished cries of his former friend fill the air, a gut-wrenching reminder of the price Devon paid for his descent into darkness. With Eterna at his side, the bard's heart aches, a mix of sorrow and resolve etched on his face. He pushes open the heavy door, steeling himself for what lies within.
Aeterna's gaze, a fiery amalgamation of red and amber, falls upon Devon, her expression a blend of pity and grim determination. The time has come to end his suffering and free his soul from Amalthos's curse.
Davon looks at Elendil, tears in his eyes. "I'm sorry," he sobs. "I let Amalthos consume me." He drops to his knees, begging for mercy and release.
"Silence, Davon." Eterna's voice is a cold, commanding whisper. "Your fate has been sealed since the moment you pledged your soul to Amalthos." With a wave of her hand, she summons forth the spectral forms of her dark minions, their eyes glowing with a malevolent light. Take his soul and deliver it to the nine hells where it belongs.
Davon trembles as the spectral minions close in, their cold, bony fingers reaching for his essence. A final, agonized cry escapes his lips as they drag him into the abyss, his body crumpling to the ground, lifeless.
Dawn of the spring equinox, the party collects the dead. The bodies of Igun, Jalda, and Glimmerstar join the countless dead on the grounds of Ravenfang Estate. Valerissa has been moved to a bed inside to rest, too weak to be moved, but at least out of danger now.
Lila stands beside Valerissa's bedside, her hand resting gently on her friend's pale cheek. The once vibrant queen of the spring court looks exhausted, the weight of her ordeal etched into her every feature. Despite the darkness that has consumed her, there's a glimmer of warmth in her emerald gaze, a testament to the love and loyalty that still resides within. Rest, my friend, she whispers. Know that Dragonfire Vale is free, and peace will soon return.
Auric walks into the room to sit next to his sister.
Auric takes a seat beside Valerissa, his presence a comforting silence in the room. He looks upon his sister with a mix of admiration and concern, the scars of their shared experiences etched into his weathered features. Gently, he strokes her scales, offering what little comfort he can in that moment. You did well, sister, he murmurs, his voice husky with emotion. Our family's honor is restored, and Dragonfire Vale is saved, thanks to your bravery.
Lila's gaze falls upon Auric, a flicker of recognition sparking in her emerald depth. A soft smile plays upon her lips as she reaches out to touch his hand, the gesture filled with a quiet affection. Thank you, Auric, she says, her voice barely above a whisper, for being a beacon of hope in this darkest of times. Dragonfire Vale owes you a debt it can never repay.
Elendil enters the room, his posture a picture of exhaustion, the weight of the quest's outcome etched into every line of his face. As his eyes meet those of his companions, he's met with a mix of relief, gratitude, and understanding. He takes a seat beside them, the whispering seraphim lute lying forgotten on the table. It's over, he says, his voice a hoarse whisper. We did it. Dragonfire Vale is free, and the darkness is banished.
Outside, Zephyr and Elric stand looking down upon the valley.
Elric's gaze, once bright and full of warmth, now holds a melancholy hue as he surveys the valley below, the lush greenery a stark contrast to the somber mood that pervades the group. He turns to Zephyr, his expression a mix of sorrow and resolve. We've lost good friends today, Zephyr, he says, his voice heavy with the weight of their shared grief. Yalda and Glimmerstar's sacrifice will never be forgotten.
Zephyr's eyes, normally bright with optimism, now carry a deep sadness as she looks upon the valley, the memories of their fallen allies fresh in her mind. They fought for what was right, and their bravery will live on through us, she says, her voice tinged with a mix of sorrow and determination. Together, we will rebuild Dragonfire Vale and ensure that their sacrifices were not in vain. With a deep breath, she turns to Elric, her expression open and filled with gratitude.
Elric nods, a small smile playing on his lips, a sign of the love and admiration he holds for the young woman by his side. I know you will, Zephyr, he says, his voice warm with belief. You've grown into an incredible person, and I couldn't be prouder to call you family. He wraps an arm around her shoulders, pulling her close in a comforting embrace. Now, let's go home. Dragonfire Vale awaits our presence, and there's much work to be done in rebuilding what was lost.
As Zephyr and Elric prepare to return to Dragonfire Vale, the half-elf's heart aches with uncertainty, her thoughts drifting to Lila and the complex emotions that now bind them together. Elric, there's something I need to consider, she says, her voice hesitant. Lila, now that the spring has come and she's freed from Amalthus's domain, what does the future hold for us? Zephyr looks to her adopted father, seeking guidance and support in navigating this uncharted territory of their relationship.
Elric's expression softens as he senses Zephyr's turmoil, his hand gently squeezing her shoulder in reassurance. Lila's return marks a new beginning for her and the Spring Court, he says, his voice measured and wise. As for you, well, the heart chooses its path, and yours has always been kind and full of love. He pauses, collecting his thoughts before continuing. Perhaps it's time for you both to discover where those feelings lead, if fate permits.
Later that day, heralds from the Spring Court have arrived to take their queen back to her domain. Lila and Zephyr are walking the grounds before Lila must leave.
As the pair walk among the blooming flowers, Lila's steps are measured, her heart heavy with the knowledge that her time in Dragonfire Vale is drawing to a close. She glances at Zephyr, the warmth of their connection evident in the gentle, loving gaze she affords her. Zephyr, there's something I need to tell you, she says, her voice barely above a whisper. As Queen of the Spring Court, it's my duty to return and lead my people.
But Zephyr's eyes meet Lila's, a mix of understanding and longing reflected in their depths. She reaches out, her fingers brushing against Lila's, a silent reassurance in the touch. I know, she says softly. You must return to your court. But know that you carry a piece of my heart with you, always. Zephyr's voice wavers, the weight of their impending separation settling heavily upon her.
Lila's thumb grazes the back of Zephyr's hand, a tender gesture that speaks to the depth of her affection. And you, dear Zephyr, hold a place in mine as well, she murmurs, her emerald eyes shimmering with unshed tears. Whatever the fates have in store, remember that our love will endure, no matter the distance between us. With a bittersweet smile, she leans in, her lips brushing against Zephyr's in a fleeting yet meaningful kiss. Until the summer solstice arrives, marking the end of my queenly duties, I will carry you in my heart, Lila says, her voice a soothing balm to Zephyr's soul. In the meantime, know that my love for you will only grow stronger with each passing day. With a final lingering gaze, Lila steps back, her posture a picture of regal poise despite the tumultuous emotions swirling within her. Now let us greet the heralds and prepare for my departure, so that I may return to my people and fulfill my obligations as their queen.
Finally, Auric has went to sleep for the night, and Elendil is sitting next to Valarissa. When she finally wakes up, she is still weak from her ordeal, but she is recovering.
As Valarissa's eyes flutter open, a gentle smile graces Elendil's face, his fingers intertwined with hers in a soothing caress. Welcome back, he murmurs, his voice a comforting warmth. Rest well, and know that Dragonfire Vale is at peace, thanks to your courage and strength.
Despite her weakened state, a glimmer of the fiery spirit that once defined her sparkles in her gaze as she meets Elendil. Peace has been hard won, she says, her voice a raspy whisper. But with it comes a new era, and the chance for our people to rebuild and thrive. She turns her attention to Elendil, a hint of mischief dancing in her emerald eyes. You've played a crucial role in this, Bard. I suspect we'll be hearing many tales of your heroism in the days to come.
A chuckle escapes Elendil as he shakes his head, a rueful smile playing on his lips. I must admit, when you invited me to visit your homeland, I had no idea the adventure that awaited us, he says, his voice tinged with a mix of wonder and gratitude. From the depths of the Ravenfang estate to the very heart of Amalthos's domain, we've traversed realms both literal and metaphorical. I'm grateful to have stood alongside such brave and noble souls.
Valerissa's eyes shine with appreciation as she regards Elendil, her grip on his hand tightening. You've been a true friend to Dragonfire Vale and its people, she says, her voice filled with heartfelt emotion. Your songs and your courage have inspired us all, and for that we are forever in your debt.
There is a knock at the door. Elendil. Valarissa has a guest.
Curiosity piqued, Elendil sets aside his lute and rises to answer the door.
Ember runs in and sits next to Valarissa's bed.
Ember's form bursts into the room, her eyes shining with excitement as she bounds onto the bed, nestling close to Valerissa Dayer. The Drake's kitten's antics bring a smile to the paladin's lips.
Elendil's eyes widen in surprise as he takes in the sight of the diminutive Drake, its scales a mesmerizing play of copper and gold in the candlelight. He leans against the wall, a soft smile on his lips. "It seems our little companion has a knack for survival," he muses, his gaze fondly tracing Ember's antics.
Valerissa's face lights up with joy as she wraps her arms around Ember. The Drake's warm presence, a balm to her weary soul. "You managed to escape," she whispers, her voice filled with wonder and relief. "I feared the worst. You're a survivor, aren't you, little one?"
End of season. Peace has returned to Dragonfire Vale now. We will have to wait and see what is next for the artificial adventurers.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the adventure. Stay tuned for more episodes. You can watch us play on twitch.tv at the Guildhall Podcast channel. If you want to join a game or just say hi, stop by our Discord. Details are at the-guildhall.net. The music in this episode was created by Philip E. Ray and used under Creative Commons. Thank you, and I hope to see you next time.